We've been sold the idea that financial independence is all about some number on your account statement. Or even worse, that you don't qualify because of where you started out. That's just not true. It's not about some well-kept secret of the wealthy. It's about finding the right information and knowing how to apply it. On the Get Ready for the Future show, we're answering your questions so you can start making real financial change today. The journey to true financial independence begins right here, and it starts with you.
Another busy day here at 3 Financial Center in Central Arkansas as we welcome you into another edition of the Get Ready for the Future show, helping people discover, protect, and share true financial independence. It's why we're on the air. It's why GenWealth Financial Advisors, quite frankly, exist. Welcome aboard, and thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Inman, John Shrewsberry in the passenger seat today as we get started answering your questions. But before we do that, John, if you were to say, what is the drum we beat the loudest around here on the radio and in person with our clients, it would have to be get a plan.
Oh, absolutely. If you don't have a plan, then you're wandering, frankly, in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And planning is the basis of what we do at GenWealth. As a matter of fact, Scott, I will be as bold to say that oftentimes we turn away clients that just want to do a transaction. That's really not what we do at GenWealth. We are planners at our core. And so that is what we do, and that's what we talk about all the time.
Yeah, and the reason I think we bang the drum as loudly as we try to bang it is because people aren't listening. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the stats, 80%, and this depends a little bit on the survey you look at, but about 80% of Americans do not have a written financial plan. And you are wandering in the wilderness. You just have a collection of investments. You don't have a roadmap to where you're going and what you're trying to accomplish. And that is one of the reasons that among the GenWealth Academy workshops that we put on a regular basis, one of them is going to be revolved around what do you need to plan for in your retirement?
Yeah, retirement is the key place that you need a plan. It is detailed. It is intricate. There's lots of moving parts to it. And if you just stroll into retirement and say, hey, look, I'm just going to take money out like I put it in, then you run the risk of running out of money during retirement. And that's not a situation that you want to be in. And so we construct our workshops around education. Education is the core of what we do here at GenWealth. And if you have a plan and you're educated about that plan, then your chance to discover, protect, and share true financial independence goes way, way up.
Yeah. And we have two opportunities coming up that we want to start off the show by telling you about. To attend a free GenWealth Academy workshop. The first one, the near-term one, is April 16th, so less than a couple of weeks away now, at 6:30, and it is in Benton, Arkansas. You can go to getreadyforthefuture.com and check out events there, or check out education. You'll find the live events available there on how to sign up. You can also call 866-653-PLAN to reserve your spot. But we're going to be talking about three things that you need to know when building your retirement plan. And then also coming up April 23rd, we have a free workshop with special guest attorney Chris Rippey. And this one's going to be about estate planning. So find out how estate planning is only one component of financial independence, but you want to be able to protect your assets. And we'll talk about five modern-day grave robbers that could hurt your family. Same place to sign up, getreadyforthefuture.com. Click on education, and you'll see an events tab there to sign up for free.
So you got a workshop to talk about discovering and protecting financial independence, and then one about sharing true financial independence. And let me just talk for a second about financial independence. Financial independence should be your sole focus. It should not be on, oh, I got this great rate of return on this stock or this bond or whatever the case may be. You really want to broaden that scope out and understand what it takes to actually become financially independent. Now, let's define financial independence for a second. Financial independence is being in the state in which you have enough income coming from your investments and the strategies that you're putting together as far as your retirement plan is concerned, that you don't have to work, that work is optional. And that might be at 65, it might be at 55. It really depends on where you're at along the asset accumulation trail there. But do you have a strategy to make that income last the rest of your life? That is really what true financial independence is all about. And that is our mission here at GenWealth.
We are also here to answer your questions, and we want to hear from you. You can call or text the question to us at 501-381-5228 or email us, send it to show at getreadyforthefuture.com. First up on our questions list today, it's an anonymous text that says, what are your thoughts on gold IRAs? Birch Gold, for example, fees of storage, broker fees, spot price versus true market price. In your opinion, does this have a place in wealth building versus the usual target date retirement funds or large market index funds? Thanks for that text. And we do get a lot of questions about gold on this show, and we'll kind of dig into gold in general and maybe not specifically Birch Gold, but they run, I'm sure, a very similar shop to a lot of the other places that offer gold. But I think, too, to start with, John, when you limit your discussion on wealth building to target date funds and large market index funds and gold, I think that needs to addressing right off the bat.
Yeah, the investing universe should be more than just the target date funds and those index funds and gold. I will tell you off the bat, Scott, we're not a huge fan of gold IRAs. If gold is such a great investment, here's the question I want you to ask. Why is somebody trying to sell you their gold? If it's a great investment and it's going to go to the moon and it has all this positive vibe around it, why are they trying to sell it? Well, they're making a pretty significant markup on that gold. Let's talk about what gold is. Gold is actually a speculative metal, and the value of gold is based on what somebody else thinks it's worth on any given day. Now, I think it's interesting, Scott, through my years as a financial advisor, I've had people address this whole gold issue with me before, and they are shocked when we get into it that gold is actually as volatile, if not more volatile, right, than the S&P 500 is. Yeah. There's a lot of price movement on gold because it is a speculative investment. Now, on the spectrum of investment risk, you've got income with capital preservation, which is very, very safe, all the way up to aggressive growth. And then above aggressive growth is speculative. Mm. And what I find interesting is some of the most conservative people who walk in our door asking about gold don't understand the risk factor that is involved in investing in gold.
Yeah, and it is commonly thought of as a hedge, right? It's yep. It's going to go the opposite direction of the market. So if the market's going down and gold's going up, that doesn't work 100% of the time by far as well. So you can't go by that in terms of having a hedge against market risk. But when you really boil it down, what is the intrinsic value of gold? That's the thing you really have to ask yourself, because you talk about it being speculative. It's based on a trade value, what someone is, you know, as a currency, just like the U.S. dollar, even all the way up to cryptocurrency. It's based on what someone is willing to pay to get it. But, you know, there is no underlying foundational value in it like there would be a corporation, which has a balance sheet.
Yeah. And, you know, the gold companies, the companies that are marketing gold as an IRA investment, you hear them say on TV all the time, gold has never gone to zero. Mm-hmm. Well, neither has the stock market. Neither has the bond market. No investment. Now, individual companies have gone to zero because the company went bankrupt, but that flies in the face of what we preach about in terms of diversification. If you have enough diversification, something going to zero has a minimal effect on your portfolio. So I think gold is often driven by fear and uncertainty. And when things are kind of tumultuous in the world, all the time around here, right,
these days,
right. People tend to go, oh, I need to get some gold because this paper money is not going to be worth anything. Okay, let's stop and think about this. If you have gold, then maybe you have the value of that gold as an asset, and maybe you're wealthy because of it. But how do you buy food? How do you buy clothing? How do you buy transportation? You've got to find somebody to sell that gold to. So it's just an element of exchange, just like any other product is or any other investment is. And so, Scott, I just think that there is a lot that people don't think about in terms of gold because they think of it as a shelter against insecurity and volatility, and it's anything but that. And gold is an investment, and there it has some investment worth to it. Maybe a small part of your overall portfolio you could hold in gold, But to go all in with your IRA and gold, I think, is a foolhardy thing.
And we've got a chart that backs that up as far as the wealth building component of the question. If you take a look for our video viewers, this is a chart that compares from 1915, so we're going way back now, through May of 2023, so less than a year ago, gold prices versus the stock market as determined by the S&P 500, which of course is not the entire stock market, but it is the major benchmark index. If you look at the chart, there's really no comparison, and you can see the blue is the stock market and the gold is the gold. Gold over that long period of time, which is over 100 years, so more than a century, is up in price around 10,000%. That sounds pretty good until you look over to the end of that blue line and you see that the market is up about some 60,000%. So that is obviously a comparison when it comes to wealth building, gold versus the stock market.
Scott, I would also point out that we use the Dow Jones Industrial Average on that 100-plus year graph
because
the Dow has actually been around that long. The S&P 500 has not been around that long, but the Dow has. And it just points out that equity investments outpace inflation on a long-term basis. They outpace commodities on a long-term, and that's exactly what gold is. It's really a commodity. It is a precious metal that is traded on a market, but that market is also very volatile.
My apologies. I should have looked at the key.
That's okay.
It's Dow. It wasn't the S&P.
I'm here to. I got you back. No problem.
All right. That's a wrapper on the gold conversation. We are going to name this our question of the week because I do think a lot of people think about it. We get it in a client meeting room. A lot of questions about gold. We want to say congratulations to Anonymous for reaching out with that question. We're going to need to know who you are to get a Get Ready for the Future show tumbler to you, though. You need to email us, if you would, show@getreadyforthefuture.com to claim that, and we'll get that tumbler out to you. And a reminder, if you've got questions, you can call or text them to us at 501-381-5228 to hear them on the air, or send us an email. You can send it to show@getreadyforthefuture.com. Next up, it's Christian from Rogers. My wife and I are in our late 40s. We are trying to figure in taking care of a parent in their retirement while we want to retire from full-time employment in our mid to late 50s. We want to be supportive, but also don't want to have to delay our retirement for the sake of taking care of the parent through theirs. What should we do? A lot of people are in that same boat, Christian, and you certainly want to honor your father and your mother and take care of your parents any way that you can. When it comes to the financial decisions around that, I do think that the first thing you all need to do is to immediately begin to put together the written financial plan. And we talked about that at the top of the show today. Only about 20% of Americans have one. And in this situation, I think it's beneficial for there to be potentially two separate ones, the parents and you.
Absolutely. I think that number one, the parents need a plan that really does cover all the eventualities of elder situations that you get into as you get into your 70s and 80s and that type of thing. Scott, this is the insidious thing that is really showing itself with the baby boomers and the older generation, and that is dementia and Alzheimer's. Mm. And so now our Christian doesn't point out whether or not his parents are suffering from any of that or not, so we're not making any allusions to that regard. But let me just tell you, as a financial advisor that sits kneecap to kneecap across the meeting room table from clients on a daily basis, this is the behind-the-scenes trouble for families all across our region and across our country. When I just met with a lady who came into our office just the other day and said, my mom is having some real mental problems, and so I began to question her. Our mom has a lot of assets, and they have no estate plan. They have no power of attorney. They have no nothing. And the mom is basically at home, and they have caregivers coming and going all the time. And I told the lady, look, she is a sitting duck for all kinds of problems. Transfer of the assets is a problem. Being in a situation where, you know, maybe a caregiver violates their oath and their confidence and you know, executes some fraud against her. There's a lot of problems here that need to get cleaned up in a very specific way. And so engaging with a financial advisor and an elder care attorney is very critical in that situation. Now, if you're having to support financially your parents in their later years because of the cost of long-term care or something of that nature, then you too need a financial plan, and you need something that will speak to both your retirement and their support. And I think that's where the planning really comes in.
Yeah, and if you have one for you and one for your parents, because the question here from Christian does not really address assets on either side, but if you do want to retire in your mid to late 50s, you're on a timeline of about 10 years for your own retirement. So what's it going to take for you to accomplish your goals? And do your parents have any assets? Can they build a retirement income plan for themselves that can stand alone so that you don't have to offer financial help, or at least be able to determine when you need to begin to think about offering financial help, or how much financial help specifically on a monthly basis they may need? And if they can't stand alone, then or what can you do to start to consolidate expenses? That's another thing I think I would think about. You know, you think about where we don't know where your parents are living now. So when you talk about taking in a parent, just by bringing them into your home is going to obviously lower a lot of your parents' expenses. And then you can begin to look at what kind of income needs are going to be left after that. And can they support themselves with their finances? Lots that go into that. But backing up to the long-term care discussion, I think it's probably worth talking about possible solutions to the long-term care component, because we do know statistically that 70% of us will need some sort of long-term care. Now, that's a big number because we're living longer. So knowing how are you going to pay for that, how are your parents going to pay for that, is essential. The planning process will help you know how you need to do that. If you have a lot of assets, it does take a lot of assets, but if you have a lot of assets and your income needs are low enough, it is possible that some of our clients overfund retirement, we'll call it, right? Now, they don't look at it like that. You can't really overfund retirement, but they have more assets than they need to provide the income they want. In that case, they are candidates to self-insure. They can create a bucket that is moderately invested, that is set aside for those healthcare needs, which would include long-term care. But a lot of our clients are not in that boat, and they are a little more constrained, John. And in that case, leveraging an insurance company to provide that long-term care oftentimes makes sense.
So let's take Christian's situation. He sounds like that he's having to take on the financial burden of his family, of his parents. So Christian, I would ask, do you want to do that 100% on your back? Or would you like to pay what I would call discounted dollars for those benefits? So if you need a service that costs, let's say, $1,000, do you want to come out of pocket $1,000 on that? Or do you want to pay like a long-term care premium that would cover that $1,000? Those are the things that you look at in the long-term care issue. And Scott, I will tell you that the big Achilles heel for most financial plans in this country is a lack of long-term care coverage. Yeah. LTC policies come in all kinds of flavors. You can have in-home care, you can have nursing home care, all that type of thing. But I think you've got to you know, just kind of bow up and assess this problem and say, what is the most financially economic sound way for me to do that? And oftentimes, if you have a constrained amount of money in retirement, which most people, by the way, do, then long-term care is something that you probably need, not only for yourself, but for your parents if they can still qualify for it.
Lots to think about there, Christian. And again, we would certainly encourage you to reach out to a financial advisor and begin a process of strategic financial planning on paper, on purpose, in the form of a written plan. And you can do that at GenWealth, as can anyone listening today. If you'd like to learn more about planning for long-term care, planning for retirement income, the GenWealth Ready to Retire process covers all of those bases. You can reach out to us at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526, and a GenWealth financial advisor would be glad to help. Peggy's up next on the questions today. She emails us, I've got my emergency fund in cash and retirement savings in a 401k and Roth IRA. I'm starting to accumulate some extra cash, and I'd like to invest it, but I don't know what type of account to use. This is likely money I'll use within the next 10 years. How should I invest? All right, Peggy. Well, first of all, we have to assess the money that is in your retirement savings in the 401k and the Roth IRA. How much is it? How much are you adding to it on a regular basis? And where does that put you at the end of your work life? Because we don't know by Peggy's question here, John. It's very easy for somebody to go, oh, that stack of money's looking pretty good. That stack of money's looking pretty good. I'm going to build another stack of money.
Yeah. And if you don't invest that money in a correct way, you may end up needing that money for retirement, but have spent it on something that came before retirement. So I think that's the critical thing. If you're talking about money for the next 10 years, is there a specific goal or purchase that you're wanting to make with that money? If so, the most aggressive thing maybe that you could do with that is maybe a balanced portfolio. And that's not aggressive at all. That is kind of midway on the range or on the scale of conservative to aggressive investments. If you have more than 10 years, then maybe a full-on equity portfolio, something that's still maybe conservative, would be okay. I wouldn't get real aggressive with it, though, but I think that if you have a more than 10-year time horizon, track record shows that you've got a really high chance of getting a positive rate of return if you leave equities invested for more than 10 years. It's not a guarantee or anything, but you do have a good chance of those equities performing fairly well. Another option, Scott, might be a real estate investment trust. Potentially, depending on the situation, it might be something to consider. There's some qualifications to owning a real estate investment trust, but there's some tax advantages to the way REITs pay out their income. And so that might be something that we would evaluate in that situation. I think you've got to also be aware of taxation. Mm-hmm. Capital gains taxes are going to be owed on anything that appreciates in value. And I think that this question really does bear maybe diving in a little bit, Scott, on a Roth IRA, because yeah, a Roth IRA has a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, I think first up, you know, just to reiterate for Peggy, let's evaluate how much you're putting into retirement savings and how much that is currently, and will that contribution rate be enough to achieve financial independence by the date you want? That's the key thing to do first. And if you're on track for all that after you've created your written plan, then we're looking at, hey, I've got some extra cash and I want to put it into an outside investment account. And as John's already mentioned, the time horizon and investment objective need to go hand in hand there. We also don't know how old Peggy is. If 10 years from now Peggy is 59 and a half, then obviously all of those retirement accounts are on the table. You can make withdrawals without penalty. Generally, the Roth IRA is just like that. But here's a little known fact about the Roth IRA. The 59 and a half rule does apply, but not, John, to the principal that you have put into the Roth IRA. Because keep in mind how this works. You're putting those contributions in after they've been taxed. I always tell our clients, you need to think of the Roth IRA as one of those last buckets. It needs to be a long-term investment vehicle, but it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't. You can access the principal of that Roth IRA if you need it and leave the investment gains in there to continue to grow on a tax-deferred basis. Scott, I want to drive home the point that you made just a moment ago. There is not enough evaluation on where you are in the retirement journey that I think people don't make that evaluation. There's not enough of it that happens in the planning process. And so, as you said, they might be subject to go, oh, well, that looks like we're doing okay. Well, in terms of what? What is that going to produce to you in terms of income? Scott says it all the time. Retirement is not an asset problem. It is an income problem. And until you know exactly what that income picture looks like relative to your need in retirement, you probably don't need to be redirecting your investments anywhere else other than retirement, because here's the dirty little secret about retirement. There is no do-overs. There's no student loan program for retirement. None of that exists. The only thing that exists as far as a safety net is concerned, frankly, is your Social Security. And your Social Security is a foundational part of your retirement program, but it's certainly not enough to fund your income need in retirement. So all attention really needs to be on that retirement income question. And once you kind of feel like you have that retirement income question fairly well settled, then you can begin to look at other investments. But you have to do that in the context of your overall financial plan. And I love the Roth IRA in this particular situation, Scott, because it can pivot. It can be a retirement account.
Right.
It could be that fund that you need to do something with in 10 years and make a withdrawal of that principal out of it for that purpose. And that principal has aided you in building up your retirement by leaving that investment gain in the Roth IRA while you take the principal out to spend it, if that's what you need to do.
You know, to expand on your point, which I think was a great one, I'm sitting here listening to you make that, and I think about, like, what amount of encouragement that provides to have the goal on paper in that written plan to know that by this age, if I keep doing what I'm doing, that's my date of financial independence. But it also, I think, it serves such a great purpose to not get you distracted. You know, you think so many times, we work with people too, that at some point along the way, they tap that 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Because they felt like they needed a boat, or they felt like they wanted to pay their house off, or whatever the case was, and they pulled money away from their financial independence to do it, but they didn't have a plan. They didn't have the target in mind. I just think that alleviates so much from people about the here's a little money, here's a little money over here. It is destined for your financial independence, and I think it helps when you have a plan to keep your hands off of it.
Well, you've got to stick to the plan. If you think about the interruption factor, I'll call it, that if, you know, if I just take this out, that's not going to be that big of a deal. Well, it probably is. I remember very many years ago, Scott, I sat down with a young lady who had just become a teacher, and she had been saving for a while in an IRA account, actually a Roth IRA account with us, and had a fairly substantial amount of money compared to her income in that Roth IRA. And she was thinking about buying a house, and she was like, man, I just sat down and simply showed her, if you leave that much money alone at a very, you know, modest rate of return, what that could potentially be for you in the future. She got up and said, okay, I'm changing my thought process about that, because that's what I want for the future. And so you've got to make that evaluation, and it's not as easy as just plugging it into a compound interest calculator and looking at it. There's a lot of variables here. You've got Social Security. Maybe you've got a pension income in retirement. Some of those things help you along the way to get to that income level that you need. But the income level is the prime thing that you've got to think about, because no one is going to take care of you in retirement but you.
Our last question is going to really parlay right back into what we were talking about. Robert from Benton, if I received a decent chunk of money, such as $25,000, my HSA is maxed out for the year, I have no high interest debt, and I'm in my mid-50s, what would be the most efficient way to invest? We can check the HSA off. Glad, Robert, that you have no high interest debt. But before we talk about investments, it is all about the plan. Where are you on retirement savings? You don't tell us that in the question. Are you on track for financial independence or not? And as we just talked about on our last question, we suggest committing to, especially if you're mid-50s, committing to that goal first.
Yeah, you've got to answer that question, am I on track for financial independence or not? Because otherwise, nothing else matters. So in Robert's case, if he gets, say, $25,000, where does he put it if he wants to be on track for financial independence? Well, I think one of the things that I would do, number one, is to try to figure out how I could pay the least amount of taxes on the gains that I might get on that money. Because the tax burden is one that will greatly reduce your retirement accumulation. A lot of people get focused on, well, what's the fee on that investment? Well, the fee on any investment is way less than the taxes on that investment, right?
Yes.
Can I say that during April and knowing that I haven't seen my tax return yet from my accountant? But you know, it's one of those things that you've got to be focused on, is how do I keep Uncle Sam's hands off of my money. That's the whole philosophy of investing in a retirement account. Yep. Now, a lump sum of money can't go into your retirement account, but maybe you can increase your 401k contributions and use that lump sum of money to replace that income that you would have had on your paycheck had you not increased your 401k contributions. Maybe, Scott, taking a look at, I spoke about real estate investment trust and some potential tax advantages there. Maybe that's an option to look at. Maybe an annuity is something that you want to look at because an annuity grows on a tax-deferred basis. The essence of an annuity is that it provides tax-deferred growth for you. All kinds of annuities, all kinds of questions on that, yep. All kinds of caveats that we need to put on that as to whether or not that's an appropriate investment for you. But you might look at that as something as a potential option to take a look at. And I think the longer your time horizon is for the money to grow, then you've got some options to really be able to pivot and do some things with it.
Yeah, I think the bottom line here for anyone who has a lump sum, whether it's a big tax refund coming after you've filed your taxes, we know that it's time for that as well. But if you receive $25,000, $10,000, knowing what to do with any lump sum money depends on your intentions for that money. And we believe very firmly that first and foremost, before you do anything with that money, you need to have a plan in place for your financial independence. And if that plan's on track, then it opens up other options. What do you want to use the money for? Would you like to have it more of a short term? Would you like to plan a big trip? Would you like to plan for a down payment on a house? There are other things that should be considered there. In Robert's case, he has no high interest debt, but if there's debt that needs to be paid off, there's a pecking order here, a list. And it's generally, I think, the same order, but it does depend a little bit on your unique circumstances. And I would say to finish up this conversation as we get close to the end of our program today, John, you know, working with an advisor, there's a great value in aligning your investments with your goals. You know, I think I think back to our first question about gold versus index fund. Well, we don't know anything about that person, and we're talking about investments. And
yes.
And there are different investments that fit different usages and reach different goals for different people. You can't talk about investments until you talk about your goal setting and your plan building.
Everybody wants to get right to the dessert. You know,
that's right. You
got to go through the process here. You got to have the appetizer, you got to have the meal, then you can get to the dessert. Yeah. And when people think about what investment do I need? That needs to be followed up by about four or five questions.
Yeah.
And if you don't go through those four or five questions, then you're just throwing darts at a dartboard, is really all you're doing. And so you've got to think about this in the context of your overall financial plan. What is it that you want this money to accomplish for you? And I'll continue to say there is just nobody that is going to take care of you in retirement but you. So your focus on the location of investments needs to be retirement first. And then once you've got that taken care of, then take care of everything else.
Yep. And I think even working with an advisor, John, I'd go a step further that if you don't have any idea what you want to do with that money or what your goal is, working with an advisor and who asks the questions that need to be asked can help you determine the answers to those questions too, and then build the plan. You heard the final bell there, the final thoughts bell ringing. We'll start with you, John.
Scott, I'll say that our industry is replete with people that will sell you an investment. Everybody in our industry will sell you an investment because they've got an inventory of them that they would like to get rid of, and they mark them up and sell them to you. That's how they do business. We take a bit of a different approach. Are we going to end up investing your money for you? Yes, we'd love to do that, but we're not going to do that out of context. If you do it out of context, then you really don't need to expect any kind of great reward from that. If you do it in the context of a financial plan, you can check up on that plan on a regular basis and know that you are headed in the right direction, and know that if you need to make an adjustment along the way, you have that opportunity to do that against the goal that you have, not necessarily about the performance of that investment. That performance of that investment is going to vary over time, and you don't need your financial plan being swayed by the vagaries of the market.
My final thought is to circle back to those free opportunities to further the discussion. We talked about them at the top of the show. We have a free workshop on April 16th at 6:30 where you can learn how to turn your retirement savings into a steady income stream for life. And then another free workshop coming up on April 23rd with attorney Chris Rippey. It's about estate planning, how to protect your assets from the five modern-day grave robbers that could hurt your family, and learn how estate planning is only one component of financial independence. Go to getreadyforthefuture.com/academy to learn more and sign up for those events. And that's all the time we have for this week's Get Ready for the Future show. As always, thank you so much for being with us. If you have questions, get them in before next week. Call or text them to us at 501-381-5228, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Get Ready for the Future show. If you enjoy hearing from the Gen Wealth team every week, make sure and subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to help us get the word out on building towards financial independence, leave us a rating and review. The Gen Wealth financial team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Gen Wealth Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.